Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is written in Paul's letter to the Romans, the 9th chapter, the first 5 verses. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continuous pain in my heart. For I almost wish that I myself could be cursed and separated from Christ in place of my brothers, my relatives according to the flesh, those who are Israelites. Theirs are the adoption as sons, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, came the Christ, who is God over all, eternally blessed. Amen. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, when Paul first appeared on the scene, he was feared by the early believers. One of the first instances of his actions that was recorded was when Stephen was stoned. Paul, then called Saul, stood by and watched and took care of the garments of these people who were stoning Stephen so they would have more freedom to throw the stones harder. From there, he became a persecutor of the church, and he was responsible for the death of some of these Christians. But then it changed. He was called by the Lord as he was going to Damascus to continue his terror in that city. He changed completely. He became a faithful apostle for the Lord. Paul describes himself in our text. Paul, a true apostle of Christ. And we look at 3 aspects of Paul's ministry. He speaks the truth. He grieves over the unbelief of the Jews. And he proclaims the true doctrine concerning Jesus Christ. He speaks the truth. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. Lying. That's something that Paul was doing before his conversion. He followed the lies of the religious leaders of his day. Lies which had changed the Messiah's work from working with people for their souls to a Messiah who would be an earthly king, who would chase out the Romans and make of Israel once again a great nation as it was under Solomon or David. Lies. You have to obey the 10 commandments. You have to do all of the things that God told Moses to tell the people of Israel to do, and more. Because some of these things were a little vague, the early leaders added more ideas so they could obey these laws perfectly, and they became the same as the Word of God. Lies. Paul believed these. Paul went out and preached these. And he became an enemy to those who would not follow the rules or laws of these leaders. He didn't speak the ideas of man. Rather, my conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit. The disciples, they had Jesus to teach them. But by the time Paul came on the scene, the Lord was long gone, ascended on high. He was well versed in the teachings of his church of that day, which was false. So on his way to Damascus, he was stopped by the Lord, told, "You will be my missionary to the Gentiles." He was struck blind, led to Damascus, stayed there for a couple of days. Then Ananias, a believer, was told by the Lord, go to this place and see Saul, Paul. Ananias said, I'm afraid. He's a terror. The Lord said, go. He went, touched the eyes of Paul. He could see again. And then immediately he was taken away from Damascus by the Holy Spirit, where he was instructed on the truth of God's word, instructed so that he could be the missionary to the Gentiles, telling them all about Christ and all about the true way to heaven. Paul speaks the truth. What about today? Pastors, me. You come here every Sunday morning or Thursday evening in the summertime. You come because you want to hear the truth of God's word. But sad to say, there are so many churches today where they don't hear that because of one change in a sentence. We believe the Bible is the word of God. But so many theologians today have changed it. They have changed one little word, is. They now say the Bible contains the word of God. And with that change, it means that not everything in that Bible is God's word. And so they now pick and choose. And so if something becomes very popular in the world and they want to be popular, they say, the Bible really didn't say that. Or what's in the Bible wasn't really written by God. It was just written by man for their time. It doesn't pertain to today. And because of that, so much false teaching now comes from the pulpits of many, many pastors. And they were taught to teach that already at their seminary. You don't have that happen here. Our 3 years at the seminary is almost completely doctrine. So that when we get out in the ministry, we know what the Word of God has to say on almost every aspect that we will face, and we're told, proclaim it. And if the people don't like it, too bad. You are to proclaim the Word of God in its truth and purity. That's what Paul did. And that's what he expects of us. And he expects that of you too. Don't get carried away by the ideas of the world or the ideas of mankind. Follow God's word. I talk to college students because they go to a regular college. They're going to be bombarded with new ideas. And I just give them a simple word of guidance. If you're tempted, look in the Bible. If the Bible says it's okay, do it. If the Bible says it's wrong, don't. And you should be the same way. Proclaim the true word of God. If the people don't like it, that's too bad. We are here to proclaim God's word to a sinful race, which leads us to the second aspect of Paul's work as an apostle of Christ. He grieves over the unbelief of the Jews. Theirs are the adoption as sons, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs. Paul was a Jew, and he knew the history of the Jews from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to Moses, to Joshua, to David, to Solomon. God's goodness to them. God chose them out of all the peoples in the world to be his people. And he took care of them. He took them out of the slavery that was Egypt. He gave them the promised land, The Israelites didn't go out and destroy those enemies. God did. And it was a land that was fertile, filled with milk and honey. That was a gift from God. Now, at times, they disobeyed him. But when they repented, he forgave them. But at the time of Paul, that was long gone. And yet those leaders said, we are Jews, therefore we are God's people, and God will save us. Paul realized that their teachings would not get them to heaven, but he was so concerned about them that he said, I almost wish that I myself could be cursed and separated from Christ in the place of my brothers. He loved his brothers so much, he said to God, if it were possible, put me in hell so that all my fellow Jews can be in heaven. That's how much he loved them. Of course, he knew that wouldn't happen. People go to heaven because of their faith in Jesus. It's not because of what one man says, but it shows his concern. We should have that same concern today. Not for the Jews. I don't think there's any here sitting in church this morning, are there? But he is speaking about our people who aren't here. Now, you have a membership of about 420, I believe, at the present time. If everybody that would come to church once in a while would all be here on a Sunday, you might have half of that amount of people here. Believe it or not, that's better than normal. Most churches today, if they have a third, they're really, really happy. But that's not what we're going to talk about this morning. Rather, we're going to talk about those other 200. Why aren't they here? Some, they've moved away, but have done nothing with their membership here. We're working on those right now. Others, when COVID hit, they sat at home. They watched the service on TV. It was comfortable. And they're satisfied with doing that even now. And that's common throughout our synod. We're working hard on getting them to come back to church. Why? Yeah, they hear the word, but they don't get the Lord's Supper. They don't have the fellowship that we have when we gather together and talk about our good times and our bad times. Can't do that when you're home. So what does Paul tell us to do? When you see someone who is a member of your church that isn't coming, talk to them. I'll tell you right now, they'll listen to you more than they'll listen to me. If the pastor shows up at their doorstep, holy horrors, we're in trouble. The pastor's here. If you show up, oh, he cares. They might listen. That's what Paul would have us do with our membership. Never be satisfied that they have some good reason. Show them the importance of being in church, hearing God's word, partaking of the sacrament, enjoying the fellowship. Paul, a true apostle of Christ, encourages us to do that. And finally, he proclaims true doctrine concerning Jesus Christ. From them, according to the flesh, came the Christ. First of all, Jesus, the Son of God, became a man. A Jew, born of the Virgin Mary. He grew up. He gained knowledge as he grew up. He had laid aside most of his heavenly powers. So he hungered. He thirsted. He needed to sleep. He needed to take a break. How many times are we told after he did something, he went away in the wilderness alone to talk to his Father? He was a human being, descended from the patriarchs. He came with a purpose. Why did he become a human being? Because He had to be under his Father's laws to do something for us. The Father, when he gave those laws to Moses and to the people of Israel, he said, "Now obey these laws, and I will be your God, and you will be my people." But they failed. He says the same to us. He demands it because he's holy. He cannot tolerate sin. So he said to his son, "You take care of it. You do what they can't do. You live that perfect life." And he did. The Father also said, "I demand a sacrifice to pay for the sins of the people, all people." In the Old Testament, it was that lamb sacrificed over and over again, a sacrifice which really didn't work, but had a purpose. It pointed ahead to the Lamb of God, who would take away the sin of the world. And he did that on the cross with his death. He didn't stop there. Easter Sunday, the tomb was empty. Death, the devil were defeated. Jesus rose and said, "Because I have risen, you too will one day rise," going to a special place. Then for many days, he appeared alive to many people, witnesses, so the leaders couldn't say that he died and he was just buried elsewhere. They saw him. Then he ascended on high, where he now lives, ruling the world on our behalf, preparing a home for us, a home we will go to. That is the message which Paul proclaimed to the Gentiles, people steeped in idol worship, people who thought that God was terrible, to be feared, harming you. People who thought in the Old Testament time even had to offer up their kids to appease God's wrath. Now Paul told them, God loves you, and he sent his son to save you. The result, in his three missionary journeys, many churches were formed. Many people who were unbelievers became believers. He says, you do the same thing. We're going to have Mission Festival end of next month. It's a time we think of our work beyond our immediate neighborhood. Right now, our church is growing greatest overseas as people are hearing the message of the gospel, believing it, ecstatic in what God has done for them. We can do the same here. It's interesting, I'm going to be visiting my friend tomorrow down in Tennessee. I met her in a grocery store. She was a teller. I checked out. She had a personal problem. A relative was very, very ill. I talked to her about it. That was 14 years ago. She said, "Now I know who Jesus is. I know that he is by my side. I know," she said, "I've had experiences where he has helped me. He has answered my prayers." All because the Holy Spirit had me there on that one day. She said, "You brought me back to Jesus." You can have that same experience. When the Lord gives you the opportunity to speak about Jesus, do it. And be assured the Holy Spirit's right there to give you the right words to say. And he said, "My word will not return unto me empty. It will accomplish what I want it to do." He says, "You just proclaim it. I'll take care of the rest." And that's what Paul did. Yes, he faced a lot of opposition, but it didn't stop him. He continued to preach. He says, "You do the same." Paul was a true apostle. He spoke up for Christ in a very difficult time. We can do no better. Care about lost souls. Care about souls that are fading whose faith might become weaker. Proclaim to them the work of Christ. Give them the means to be saved, faith in Jesus. That was Paul's concern and is ours to the salvation of souls. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard and keep you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.